Giorgio. Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Wednesday, January 15th, 2020 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And a wild and dystopic ride it is, to be sure. We're going to talk cultural Marxism this morning. What do we mean by cultural Marxism? And the hijacking of American culture and traditions and things, you know. And I always think of Pike's Letter. It's not the most popular place to go, but it makes sense. And I think if more people really thought in those terms, things would really start to make sense. And then we would all realize what a dire situation we're in, not knowing that there is a battle and that we've been deeply engaged in it for generations now. So the way that Pike wrote the letter, as the letter goes, what I think of as the most prophetic letter never written, at least that's what historians would have you believe, the Third World War was to be fomented by taking advantage of the differences caused by the agentur of the Illuminati between political Zionists and the Islamic world, or what I refer to as political Zionism versus political Islam. And we see that every day. Generally speaking, the wellspring of political Zionism is considered the State of Israel, as it's generally known. And the wellspring of the Islamic world and the Islamic ideology that is the sort of counterpoint of political Zionism, which is I would call political Islam, is Saudi Arabia and Wahhabism. And so you have Wahhabism and the Salafi movement on one side, and on the other side, these days, I would say you have what is commonly known as revisionist Zionism. And it's sort of patently atheistic or a-religious. So from Wikipedia, revisionist Zionism was an ideology developed by Zev Jabotinsky, who advocated a revision of the practical Zionism of David Ben-Gurion and Chaim Weizmann, which was focused on independent individuals' setting of Eretz Israel, you know, the Yanan plan, etc., etc. Anyway, in 1935, after the Zionist executive rejected Jabotinsky's political program and refused to state that the aim of Zionism was the establishment of a Jewish state, Jabotinsky resigned from the World Zionist Organization. There is no such thing, really, right? He founded the new Zionist organization, the NZO, known in Hebrew as Tzak, to conduct independent political activity for free immigration and the establishment of a Jewish state. Revisionist Zionism was based on a vision of political Zionism, quote-unquote, which Jabotinsky regarded as following the legacy of Theodor Herzl, the founder of modern political Zionism. In its early years under Jabotinsky's leadership, revisionist Zionism was focused on gaining the aid of Britain as a major power for settlement, the aid of Britain. This is supposedly the tail wagging the dog. Later, but it was actually, you know, this intrigue that was steering these events from behind the scenes, as was the case in its counterpoint, political Islam and so many other things at the time, and before and beyond, obviously. Later, revisionist groups, independent of Jabotinsky's leadership, conducted campaigns of violence against the British authorities in the British Mandate of Palestine to drive them out and establish a Jewish state. That's the way the story goes anyway. And so there's some interesting points of note along the way, and even the Oracle illusion has some provocative high points. Jabotinsky and revisionist Zionism, Irgun, origin and activities, Lehi, origin and activities, ideology, fascism versus Jewish nationalism, and then last but not least, Irgun to Likud. And that really that sort of sums it up. If you have watched, you know, I'll just skip to the bottom of the article. Speaking of Irgun to Likud, that pretty much says it all right there as far as this is concerned. So where do we jump in? Those for not familiar with the Likud party should look into what a terrorist organization that, what a blight on history that has been. So in the years since the 1977 election, particularly in the last decade, Likud has undergone a number of splits to its right, including the 1998 departure of Benny Begin, son of Harut founder Menachem Begin. He rejoined Likud in 2008, and in 2005 experienced a split to its left with the departure of Ariel Sharon and his follower, and his followers to form Kadima. While the initial core group of Likud leaders, such as Israeli Prime Ministers Begin and Itziak Shamir, came from Likud's Harut faction, later leaders such as Benjamin Netanyahu, whose father was Jabotinsky's secretary, and Ariel Sharon have come from or moved to the pragmatic revisionist wing. So this is, you know, kind of where the action on the political Zionist side of the line is. So revisionist Zionism and the Salafi movement, generally speaking, and again, speaking of Salafism, there is that section that vanished from the Oracle Illusion Salafi movement, the Wikipedia entry titled Salafi movement. There was a section titled Views on Extremism. I think it's Views on Violence now, but this soundbite is gone. Salafism is sponsored globally. The soundbite is gone, but what it represents is not. Salafism is sponsored globally by Saudi Arabia, and this ideology is used to justify the violent acts of jihadi Salafi groups that include Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Boko Haram, and the Al-Shabaab. In addition, Saudi Arabia prints textbooks for schools and universities to teach Salafism, as well as recruit international students from Egypt, Bangladesh, Indonesia, Africa, and the Balkans to help spread Salafism in their local communities. Everywhere you have Hydra basically spreading chaos to be, you know, somewhat crass, but not really. It's funny how that's happening, you know, the spreading of chaos and conflict and disorder everywhere. And it's also interesting that the Marxist influence that would seek to ostensibly liberate the oppressed is always led by the very oppressor that is, you know, allegedly the oppressor to be freed from. So again, the way Mike Huckabee put it, to create havoc in the world, you need educated people to provide the intellectual underpinnings and poor, desperate people to provide the manpower. Before the Russian Revolution, the rural peasants who formed the overwhelming bulk of the population weren't sitting around reading Karl Marx. They were illiterate. It took a small number of intellectuals to provide the theory and then rally oppressed peasants behind them. The ruling class is the spark, but the underclass is the fuel. A strong middle class is the firewall. And it makes sense when you start to think about it. Again, that's the most brilliant concise synopsis on Marxism that I think I've ever heard. So, you know, hat tip to Mike Huckabee, even though it was an old school bad guy speech, a Council on Foreign Relations speech at the CSIS. So, you know, speaking of smelling fire and brimstone, that would be a place you'd probably, one of those moments, you know, it would smell like sulfur. Anyway, to create havoc in the world, you need educated people to provide the intellectual underpinnings and poor, desperate people to provide the manpower. And this is ironic. People don't realize it. You know, the Frankfurt School advocates did not, you know, walk their own talk. They did not buy their own BS. They didn't eat their own dog food, as they would have people believe, you know, in Bernaysian fashion. Sound bites like that. So, the cultural Marxist Institute for Social Research, you know, Frankfurt School advocates were actually very cultured folks. You know, I've talked a little bit about how cultured Theodore Adorno was himself, in particular. And these people advocated a certain thing, but they did not live by what they advocated. Why is that? And that seems to always be the case with the Marxist intellectual firebrand. It was something that Nesta Webster took particular issue with, and that's why when she's talking about the infiltration of the French Workers' Party in particular, and the subversion of it, and pitting the working people against themselves and one another, and unleashing this nihilistic and atheistic influence and conflict, irreconcilable conflict on them, and doing it by infiltrating them and with the intellectual firebrand, with the intention of leading them astray and having them destroy themselves, was why she wrote, "It is difficult to write of these things calmly, for to deceive the people whose simple faith and lack of education prevent them seeing whether they're being led is as cowardly as to guide a blind man into a ditch." And I suppose I could, at some point, maybe we'll circle back around and jump into, I don't know, maybe it's actually useful to look at some of that. From 1921, Nesta Webster's World Revolution, maybe we'll look at some of that. Because that background is, to me, vital and essential to sort of know the spirit of Marxist conflict in all its forms, you know, whether it's economic Marxism or cultural Marxism, as we'll talk about today, and the Marxist-Leninist influence, which is particularly concerned with power. You know, again, I think of J. Edward Griffin talking about the difference, the intellectuals versus the Leninist class, so to speak. You know, Lenin advocated, "Coming to power, comrades. Nothing else matters. First you must come to power." So, cultural Marxism, what is that? What does that mean? We'll talk about that today. Stick around. I'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Station. radiation, radiation, that heart's dismembered constellations, a faintly glimmering radio station. While Frank Sinatra sings stormy weather, the flies and spiders get along together, cobwebs fall on an old skipping record.
So what is this thing, cultural Marxism, and what do we mean? I think maybe we will run back into the closer to the immediate history. Nesta Webster, World Revolution. Generally speaking, Marxism means conflict. An irreconcilable conflict between oppressor and oppressed. It's always the oppressor-oppressed paradigm. I think that, in my own humble opinion, Paulo Freire's Pedagogy of the Oppressed is essential reading when it comes to the oppressor-oppressed paradigm. I think, you know, like bad guys do, he articulated the problem in the conflict model and its dehumanizing nature particularly extremely well. And it's interesting. It's like, what do you... Not the red hen effect, but something like that, you know, where there's a red hen in the yard and the other hens peck it to death because it's different. Once you start focusing on this, it sort of feeds on itself like any other addiction and becomes an excuse for endless political correctness, for example, in the case of cultural Marxism. It just feeds on itself. You can never rid yourself of this oppressor-oppressed paradigm. It becomes a warped lens through which to view everything and everyone, and that's the big scam of it, is that it's actually intended to do that. It's, you know, the dialectical continuum in this iteration dictates that it's the negation of good things, essentially. You know, by the process of negation, you're going to somehow wind up at, you know, some place of purification. But what actually ends up happening is you have the point that I was getting to in Pike's letter to Mazzini after the political Zionism, political Islam conflict. He talks about, you know, meanwhile, all of the nations will be drawn into this conflict, constrained to fight to the point of complete physical, moral, spiritual, economical exhaustion. But he says, we shall unleash the nihilists and the atheists. The Frankfurt School, the Institute for Social Research, was a particularly virulent brand of unleashing the nihilists and the atheists, particularly here in America. And he talks about provoking a formidable social cataclysm. That's what happens with this dialectical influence of negation. It's essentially nihilism. It's the destruction of all cultural norms and traditions, all moorings. So we'll talk more when we come back. Stick around.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Mm-hmm. Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s, along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
To create havoc in the world, you need educated people to provide the intellectual underpinnings and poor, desperate people to provide the manpower. There are some interesting sound bites along the way. I think that's one. Nesta Webster, you know, another. To deceive the people whose simple faith and lack of education prevent them seeing whether they're being led is as cowardly as to guide a blind man into a ditch. And that's exactly what we're up against and what we're talking about. You know, some people think differently than the rest of us and employ whatever Machiavellian tactic suits their purpose, because after all, the end justifies the means, so why not? And once you begin to investigate, you see that it's always the oppressor who is leading the charge. to ostensibly free the oppressed, to liberate the oppressed. Why is that? You know? If anything is to be believed in the solution that Paulo Freire advocated, I think it's in his point that only the oppressed can lead the charge. And there are different classes, obviously, of oppressor. You know, there are the order followers, the philosopher kings, and, you know, those who are really in charge. But the oppressed leading the charge out and freeing the order follower is really kind of what I mean by that. Anyway, point here, though, as far as that's concerned, is that speaking of the battle, it is incumbent upon us to try to free our own minds first, you know, to proclaim liberty and free the captives. So, unleashing the nihilists and the atheists, that influence, and particularly the Frankfurt School, you know, once you start to understand, again, that it's the very oppressor, those forces ostensibly seeking to free the oppressed, then you start to understand, speaking of other operative quotes, sentiments like Malcolm X when he said, the press is so powerful in its image-making role, it can make the criminal look like he's the victim and make the victim look like he's the criminal. Did you see the debates last night? Did you see the rally? Did you see any of that nonsense? So Malcolm X said, if you're not careful, the newspapers will have you hating the people who are being oppressed and loving the people who are doing the oppressing. It's interesting. Donald Trump, during the rally, what did he say? Something to the effect that there are people without arms and legs in certain places because of this expletive. And I just thought, my goodness, you know, are the targeted assassinations continuing? Does every administration make George Bush, you know, every subsequent administration make George W. Bush's administration look more playful and childlike, including Donald Trump's? So the targeted assassinations have continued, and there is collateral damage, and we keep redefining terms through every administration, but the dirty SOB over there, he's the bad guy. So in the same sense, domestically, I think Malcolm X's sentiments apply with force. If you aren't careful, the newspapers will have you hating the people who are being oppressed and loving the people who are doing the oppressing. And at a street level, practically speaking, maybe it's time to go talk to some folks and, you know, address this kind of stuff head on. Andrew Breitbart did that in a fun way. And, you know, fun, tongue in cheek. But there was that Heritage Foundation talk that he gave. And maybe we'll play part of that. You know, that, the One Hoover Institution interview in particular. He really, I think, just kind of spells it all out. It's very, very clear. So maybe we'll get to that too. Anyway, I want to start with this, this entry from Larry, emailed to me by Larry. It's actually written by William Lind, William S. Lind, Cultural Marxism, Who Stole Our Culture? And when you understand it, when you see it, you understand it. You know, if you don't know what it is, then it's everywhere. It's all around us, but it's a subtle, imperceptible, coercive force. A very pervasive and coercive force. But once you see it for what it is, I think then it really, it's kind of like a stupid parlor trick. You know, the illusion is gone. So Cultural Marxism, Who Stole Our Culture by William S. Lind. You can find this over at archive.org, and it's a PDF document with links in it. So it's kind of interesting for those who... I was thinking about trying to maybe duplicate this in HTML, because I think that might be helpful, especially in mobile, because PDF documents are not particularly mobile friendly. So who stole our culture? Sometime during the last half century, someone stole our culture. Just 50 years ago in the 1950s, America was a great place. It was safe. It was decent. Children got good educations in the public schools. Even blue-collar fathers brought home middle-class incomes so moms could stay home with the kids. And yes, that was actually something that people wanted to do. That was desirable. Television shows reflected sound traditional values. I mean, have you heard what's happening in the so-called schools of today? And it's not just the cultural Marxist influence. It's a radical, you know, and we've talked about some of that. The forces that are being brought to bear on young minds is tragic and unfortunate. I think that we have much to answer, as much as we have to answer in America for abortion and, you know, again, targeted killings, assassinations, and things like that. All of the things that happen around the world, and including here on our own shores, in your name and my name. It really is. At some point, you know, you can imagine standing before God and him, you know, saying, so what was going on? What was that all about? That was horrible, you know. Certain folks got into positions of power and influence and were doing certain things, and I can imagine him maybe, you know, because the Bible says we will all give account for ourselves, and so I can imagine him saying, but what did you do? What did you do? Well, I couldn't influence anything, or, you know, I didn't have the kind of powers of mass persuasion and influence, but what did you do? Did you do anything? Just in your own personal conviction, did you do anything? So, anyway, we all have choices to make, and I think we will have to answer for what's happening to the children as much as anything else. Because after all, Jesus did say, you know, whoever leads one of these little ones astray, it'd be better for him to have a millstone hung around his neck and thrown to the bottom of the sea. I think that is the operative concept when it comes to what's happening to children in so-called school these days in America. So even blue-collar fathers brought home middle-class incomes so moms could stay home with the kids. Television shows reflected sound traditional values. And speaking of the middle-class income, again, Huckabee said it, you know. The middle class is a strong middle class is a firewall. So, you know, some of us remember families passing on, I mean, not wealthy families, middle class, maybe upper middle class, but not really, passing on, you know, things like lake cabins and things that were owned outright, didn't have a 45-year mortgage on them, with a 45% debt-to-income ratio still attached to it. And, of course, there's the economic issue. We won't get into that right now. So you can imagine a slower, steadier, more stable, calm, peaceful, more well-adjusted life. Not perfect by any means. Not saying that. But you can imagine that, and that's where we've come from. Continuing, where did it all go? How did that America become the sleazy, decadent place we live in today? So different that those who grew up prior to the 1960s feel like it's a foreign country. Did it just happen? It didn't just happen. In fact, a deliberate agenda was followed to steal our culture and leave a new and very different one in its place. The story of how and why is one of the most important parts of our nation's history, and it is a story almost no one knows. The people behind it wanted it that way. You know, and again, you can imagine the Bernaysian influence, all of the things that we have in this day and age that don't, you know, we've gotten to a microwave sort of culture, and it doesn't necessarily make things better or easier. We played that clip, you know, John Stossel with the popcorn in particular. You can grab a cup of popcorn and you don't even need a bag and a microwave. You can throw it in a stovetop pot. And in about the same amount of time that you'd put it in the microwave, it's done and it's not radiated. Not to mention all the other fun things, you know. The Monsanto bear story is something that eventually maybe I'll get back to. The fact that, you know, it's a war of attrition and the attorney, I forget his name, the main attorney who won the suits down in California, for example, now is suddenly, you know, He is his reputation is allegedly besmirched and he's, you know, discredited and all that kind of nonsense. Anyway, continuing, the people behind it wanted it that way. You know, so you think of Bernaysian influence, you know, the depth approach studies that ask women when you're making a cake, you know, if we give you a dehydrated mix, why do you feel guilty? Well, I'm not doing anything. Okay, well, if we take the egg out, is that better? Yeah, that's perfect. Goofy things like that. The way that we've been manipulated, unbeknownst, and to know it, there's just some kind of weird parlor trick to it that even when you know, still it's sort of an illusion. So continuing, what happened in short is that America's traditional culture, which had grown up over generations from our Western Judeo-Christian roots, was swept aside by an ideology. We know that ideology best as political correctness or multiculturalism, quote unquote. And again, you know, there would be something meritorious or redeeming if it were truly multiculturalism, but it's not multiculturalism in an orthodox sense of the definition of the words. It is more of an excuse to introduce nihilism and atheism and the critical theory. We'll get to that in a little bit. Anyway, it really is cultural Marxism. Marxism translated from economic into cultural terms, in an effort that goes back not to the 1960s, but to World War I. And, you know, again, I mean, we have government agencies like the CIA that are part of this operation. This was a big part of the counterculture revolution of the 1960s. But again, you know, speaking of the translation from economic into cultural terms of Marxism and the Marxist conflict, the irreconcilable conflict of the oppressor-oppressed paradigm. I think the way that Andrew Breitbart put that was brilliant. Just in simple terms, you know, we couldn't be conquered by economic means because of this middle class. Huckabee said it, a strong middle class is the firewall to that brand of Marxism. The economic Marxism, you know, the oppressor-oppressed Bolshevik, you know, the bourgeoisie and the proletariat conflict, specious conflict. So the economic was translated into the cultural, and here we are. Continuing, to understand anything, we have to know its history. To understand who stole our culture, we need to take a look at the history of political correctness, quote unquote. And so he dives in to these points. Early Marxist theory. Number one, exploit the working classes. Before World War I, Marxist theory said that if Europe ever erupted in war, the working classes in every European country would rise in revolt, overthrow their governments, and create a new communist Europe. But when war broke out in the summer of 1914, that didn't happen. Instead, the workers in every European country lined up by the millions to fight their country's enemies. Finally, in 1917, a communist revolution did occur in Russia, and for those who don't know, read Anthony Sutton on that. But attempts to spread that revolution to other countries failed because the workers did not support it. And again, I think there was... well, there's more to that. Anyway. Number two, destroy Christianity and culture. And that really kind of rises to the top. But even guys like William Lind acknowledge that. We'll talk more when we come back. Stick around.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out, Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Welcome back. Talking about cultural Marxism and this force, you know, this is cultural Marxism is Marxism translated into cultural terms. It's traditionally economic. The Bolshevik or, you know, the colliding of the bourgeoisie and the proletariat together in irreconcilable conflict, translated into cultural terms, and the nihilistic and atheistic influence burning it down and negation. You know, you have fun stuff. Like I said, they guys like Theodore Adorno advocated the salvation of man through absolute sin and debauchery. You know, it's this negation process and the perfectibility of man, but actually it's just nihilistic destruction. So two more sound bites that I think are sort of the operative concept. Again, speaking of the influencers, the ostensible liberator who is invariably the oppressor or the wielder of the puppet mouthpiece. I think of John Spivak's article series, Wall Street's Fascist Conspiracy, testimony that the Dickstein Committee suppressed, and that soundbite in there, because people get target fixated on certain groups, and there are, you know, there are folks in our midst who are vying for power and control, but it's not as simple as this target fixation of certain people groups. So the way John Spivak put it, I think, was brilliant. He wrote, "It will be shown that financial and economic class considerations rise above every other kind, including racial and religious ones. The anti-Semitic character of Nazism has been abundantly demonstrated in these pages. Nevertheless, this article and succeeding ones will reveal Jewish financiers working with fascist groups, if successful, would unquestionably heighten the wave of hate the Jew propaganda." Why would they do that? And, you know, same thing with this Marxist influence. Doesn't it destroy the world around them? Well, yes, but only to a point. It only reaches so far, you know, up to their Brazilianized enclaves, so to speak. So then what is the point? You know, Spivak writes, "It will be shown that financial and economic class considerations rise above every other kind." You have, for instance, the Anglophile network that Carol Quigley wrote about. And speaking of sound bites, the counterpoint to that, why economic and financial class considerations? Well, like Quigley wrote, like the Amazon book description points out, Quigley exposes the secret societies established in London in 1891 by Cecil Rhodes. Quigley explains how these men worked in union to begin their society to control the world. He explains how all the wars from that time were deliberately created to control the economies of all the nations. So control and, you know, power and control in simple terms. Dare I say, not everyone is a crypto Jew. So, you know, and guys like William F. Buckley get upset hearing the term crypto. Anyway, that'll do it for the first hour. Second hour coming up, we'll finish this piece on cultural Marxism. Who stole our culture? Be right back.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
This is RBN.
The Republic Broadcasting Network.